Good morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, for being with us through the week and bringing us to this moment. Our Lord and our God, as we read from your word, we pray for your understanding. Let everything we do here be to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Things are always in the way. Just as Sister Sue said a bit earlier, how often do we remember to thank God for the great things in our lives? Is it always those small things that happen that we focus on, that we allow to distract us? Do we allow those things to always be in the way of us focusing on God? The story today is the storm story. And the reading is taken from the book of Acts 27. And I'll call on Sister Janice to read the first part for us, please. You can read from there.
Found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under colour as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea.
Now, it continues. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the fast. So Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo, and to our own lives also." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. Now, who do we listen to in our communities at work? Do we listen to our parents or the media? Or do we listen to the word of God? In the quest for things of the world, let me even speak about myself. I most times tend not to spend time in prayers. And as we saw here, the centurion and the captain of the ship and others in the ship were not listening to Paul. Do we at any time listen to the word of God? Not even just for ourselves, but for the others around us? Why not? We have people that have the gift that are able to listen to the word of the Lord. And especially in our leadership here, over time, they have proved themselves. Do we even listen to them? Why not? We have storms. None of us is exempt from it. Let's try as much as we can. As much as we can. Spend time in prayers. Listen to the men of God, men and women of God. In fact, if possible, even share the issues that are actually causing concerns to you and put everything to prayer. And I can tell you, I've had a lot of support from the fellowship, from discussing the storms in my life. We see that Paul understands his job was to speak out because that was God's instruction to him. He does not even sulk when people don't listen. But some of us, like me, will say, oh, I've spoken to him or her and she didn't listen. Okay. But Paul doesn't do that. Clearly, the centurion didn't, and others in the ship did not listen, but Paul continues to listen to God and trust him for what will come. Can we try that? Can we be that submissive? Paul understands our God is kind and gracious, so he's always ready to be God's instrument. And that's how we should be. Are we able to do that? Why not? Let's look at the next part of the passage. The reading from 13 to 26. Can Sister Yetsi please help us? Acts 27, 13 to 26.
When the south wind blew softly, supposedly that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sand, they struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed. The next day they lightened the ship. On the third day we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest bit on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.'"
We've heard that the tempestuous, turbulent, violent storm was called a northeaster. What is the storm in your life called? Well, for me, it may be to do with the economy. Is that it? It may be to do with relationships. It may be to do with health. Whatever the situation, whatever the storm, our God is always in it. None of us exempt. Sometimes we look at some people and think the grass is greener on the other side. But no. It's the same for everyone. The most important thing for us to do is that we have to focus on Jesus. Focus on God. Whatever the situation, whatever the storm that comes your way. Let's please listen to the experience of some young men in Tonga, that is in the South Pacific.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of the Our Daily Bread Devotional. Our reading today was written by Sheridan Voicy, and he titled it, Castaway Faith. In June 1965, six Tongan teenagers sailed from their island home in search of adventure. But when a storm broke their mast and rudder the first night, they drifted for days without food or water before reaching the uninhabited island of Atah. It would be 15 months before they were found. The boys worked together on Atah to survive, setting up a small food garden, hollowing out tree trunks to store rainwater, even building a makeshift gym. When one boy broke his leg from a cliff fall, the others set it using sticks and leaves. Arguments were managed with mandatory reconciliation, and each day began and ended with singing and prayer. When the boys emerged from their ordeal healthy, their families were amazed. Their funerals had already been held. Being a believer in Jesus in the first century could be an isolating experience. Persecuted for your faith and often stranded from family, one could feel adrift. The Apostle Peter's encouragement to such castaways was to stay disciplined and prayerful, to look after each other, and use whatever abilities one has to get the work done. In time.
So, God has created each one of us for a purpose, and He has given us different abilities. Now, as said a little earlier, You may be good on something, the other person may be good in something different. Don't be looking at the other persons. Just try as much as you can, focusing on God. Ask God to use you, to use your talents in helping others and serving Him. Now, the promise of God's presence, power, perseverance with those who have put their faith in Him is the basis for our courage. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, "The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God understands our fear. We may feel anxious and afraid in our storms, but if we look to God, He will encourage, strengthen, and, of course, deliver us." And we have it in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, 17 to 18, which says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior." He is always there for us, and all we have to do is focus on Him, not our storm. The storm may lead to something that is scary, a shipwreck. Now, can Sister Sue please read Acts 27, starting from verse 27 to 38, please?
"On the 14th night, we were still being carried around in the Adriatic Sea. About midnight, the sailors thought they were close to land, so they lowered a rope with a weight on the end of it into the water. They found that the water was 20 fathoms deep. They went a little further and lowered the rope again. It was 15 fathoms deep. The sailors were afraid that we would hit the rocks, so they threw four anchors into the water and prayed for daylight to come. Some of the sailors wanted to leave the ship, and they lowered the lifeboat, pretending they were throwing more anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul told the officer and the other soldiers, 'If these men do not stay in the ship, your lives cannot be saved.' So the soldiers cut the ropes and let the lifeboat fall into the water. Just before dawn, Paul began persuading all the people to eat something. He said, 'For the past 14 days you have been waiting and watching and not eating. Now I beg you to eat something. You need it to stay alive. None of you will lose even one hair of your heads.' After he said this, Paul took some bread and thanked God for it before all of them. He broke off a piece and began eating. They all felt better and started eating too. There were 276 people on the ship. When they had eaten all they had wanted, they began making the ship lighter by throwing the grain into the sea."
And the reading continues. Can Riff please read 39 to 44? Please.
Okay, thank you. "When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And when sorry, and they let go the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas meet, they ran the ship aground, and the prow struck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boats and some on parts of the ship, and so it was that they all escaped safely to land.
So, the storm gets so bad sometimes that it gets to wrecking even the ship. Now, what can we make out of that? Very scary. We can, from this passage that has just been read, see that Paul is now being listened to. The centurion is listening, and the soldiers are also listening. You can only imagine if Paul had behaved like me. Say, oh, I've spoken to them. Okay, I'll just go. But Paul's attitude and speech had so impressed the leading soldier that he was now willing to listen to Paul and even protect him. As we live our lives before others with integrity and faith, people who are not yet Christians will take note. The probability of them taking our witness godly advice seriously increases. Just like we have men of faith here, our leaders. These are examples for us. We should also put them in our prayers, put ourselves in prayers. Whatever the storm, we will come out of it even stronger. Never give up. Our lives speak for Jesus. With the plan to kill the prisoners stopped, Paul has made friends. He's trusted by the centurion, the leader of the soldiers. Of course, he's protected by God. And it is all in God's plan. Because he's in that storm. Your storm, my storm. Paul has had numerous encounters, as Sister Sue said. At a point, he was a man of the world, a man of affluence, but he had to let go. He listened to God and put his trust to God. And now God is using him. And eventually, when the centurion started listening to him, The others, of course, will follow. Paul has become a leader. We are given in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13, that the Lord will always make you the head. Here we have seen. They are listening to Paul. Paul had this trust and has had the trust that God will deliver them. And he has. God has made us to be leaders because he is in us. And we are his ambassadors here on this earth. We are representing the King of Kings. And that is where the authority comes from. And in Matthew 28, as it were, you find that Jesus gave them the authority to go and preach the gospel and deliver. And that authority is not only given to the disciples, it is given to you and I. We are now the disciples. We have that authority. We will see as we progress through the end of the book of Acts that Paul continued to walk with God. He did in Malta, where the shipwreck happened, and in Rome, where he was taken for trial with Caesar. The Gentiles listened, and some were healed. Listen to God. It may be easier said than done, but it is important that we listen to God by reading the Bible daily and praying, committing all our storms before him. Because you are in his plan. I am in his plan. Even before I was born, he has planned it all out. All the storms, he knows about them, and he will certainly bring you through it stronger. Now, as his feet and as his mouthpiece on earth, let's try, and with the power given us, speak to others, support others. Yes, it is not easy. Nothing good is easy. But we have been given the authority. People may despise you. People may ignore you. But remember Paul's case. Paul persisted. The end is always worth the while. God is always there to protect and help us, however stormy and difficult life becomes. I speak, and most times I feel that it is only me, just as I said previously, but no. Mine may be different. My encounters may be different. But however difficult it is, I need to put my trust in God. And we should always remember, too, that our lives have been bought by God through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. So we belong to him and should act as his ambassadors with the authority that we have been given. It is a responsibility, but a privilege. I pray that by his grace, as we go through our days, our nights, whatever the storm is, know that it is already in God's plan. And he is always there for you to reach out to and to commit the situation to him. And he will go through with you and always bring you out the other side stronger. Amen. Amen. Amen.